Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 316. We are going to get super spoilery on Legends of Tomorrow 211 Turncoat. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Howdy.
We got to do a quick episode here, running up against a hard break, so we got to go. To recap, the Legends head to Christmas 1776 to save George Washington, who will be murdered by Evil Rip, and also has already been murdered by Evil Rip, but not quite because cementing time and whatnot. Anyway, they have to save George. The Legends arrive at a Christmas party and get ambushed by Evil Rip and his EMP grenade. The result is a kidnapped Mick and Georgie. That's Washington. Mm-hmm. A Ray that's stuck in his tiny dead suit, and Sarah left for dead with a shot in the gut. They get Sarah back to the ship, but Stein can only do so much to keep her going. As the ship is assaulted by Evil Rip's forces, Jax is forced to do his best to defend the ship with sticks and stones. Evil Rip and his army rip down the door, chase down Sarah and Jax is forced to hand over a piece of the Spear of Destiny in a futile attempt to save Sarah's life. Luckily, Ray outruns a rat and gets power restored in time to get Gideon online and save Sarah's life. Later, Jax seeks revenge on Evil Rip, but just can't pull the trigger after a healthy-ish Sarah talks him down. Elsewhere, Nate and Vixen search for Mick and Washington, take a turn for the unexpected, and they make with the nasty. But they're just chilling, so it doesn't mean anything, much to Nate's chagrin. All the while, the fate of George friggin' Washington seems to be in the hands of Mick Rory, who is amused by George's insistence that the British will treat their captives with the honor they deserve. After George is sentenced to death, he decides to listen to Mick, and they make their daring escape, aided by Nate and Vixen, who have finished adult hugging. After saying goodbye to George, who proclaims Mick a national treasure, they all make their way back to the ship for some Christmas dinner, presents, and Captain Sarah pep talks about recovering the spear. Alrighty.
Yeah, made it through that pretty well.
Wouldn't George Washington have a British accent?
I am not sure about accents at all at this point. Really not.
Okay. Would the colonies be called Americans at 1760?
They were the colonists.
Sorry, 1776? Yeah, I thought they were the colonists, and they keep calling them the Americans. I don't... Whatever. It's weird.
Yep.
I don't care enough about these characters at this point to care if they get romantic, so please stop devoting so much time to that.
Not that Nate wasn't funny during the scene, which was true.
He was. Okay. Bethany and I agreed on this. There is... like, the way he describes modern day romantic relationships is utterly ridiculous. You are a married man. Are you just chilling?
Describe the question better.
Okay, you remember when he's telling, like, she's talking about courting, and Nate tells Amara, like, oh, in modern times, we don't court. We just hang out and have sex, essentially, was what he was saying.
You know, I know he's referencing Netflix and chill and just didn't bother mentioning Netflix, but I don't know. I guess it could kind of sum up some of modern sexual existence, but, like, especially given her like, raised through the 30s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's right. Somewhere in the late 50s, 60s, you know, sexual revolution, whole thing. I thought he summed it up pretty well, but he sure didn't leave himself a good in or out for it.
No, and the whole thing is just such a broad generalization that I almost found it offensive. I was like,
if I had to sum it up, though, in like two sentences, it'd be like, well, yeah, women were pretty sexually repressed, and then the 60s happened, and now they're kind of not as much anymore.
But that's not at all what he said.
I thought it was about the gist of it.
What it sounded like he said was, hey, everybody just has sex with everybody, and no one pays attention to what they feel or what they want. Any further than that. And
well, yeah, that was...
That's just not true.
That was roughly true until, like wow, we're getting into sociology now. That was kind of true-ish until, like, AIDS happened. And then
yeah.
The breaks went on that real quick.
But even then, people got married. People were,
yeah, it's
you know,
like, I don't think he was, like, precluding the idea of marriage here. He was just, like, trying to describe roughly that women are way more sexually liberated than her time.
Yeah, but yeah, as soon as he fell in the water, you know, me and Bethany were going, okay, it's going to be the skin-to-skin crap, and then sure enough, like, oh we have to get naked.
But it got you one thing. It got you that image of the seal, I mean, popping off. Like, every time she turns into an aquatic mammal.
Laugh my ass off.
And then Nate later is, like, shivering, and says, okay, your seals are funny.
We got a little bit of a really terrible Dr. McCoy homage. Damn it, I'm a physicist, not a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I know. Another good late night line though was just simply, ugh, Hitler ruins everything.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I had one problem though. My major problem with the episode was this. Why in the hell is Sarah so sure that Jax should be the captain? What is it in his resume right now?
I have no idea.
Other than like he knows the ship really well.
Yeah.
What in his resume tells you that he? I mean, and if it was just maybe it was just like she was looking at Stein and Jax and thought, well, Stein tried and failed. You haven't tried and failed yet.
Right.
My favorite thing about this episode, by the way, can I go ahead and do that real quick?
Sure. Quick.
Mix intro.
Yes.
Freaking amazing.
A lot of fun.
Why do you not know that stuff already? We go through time and do things upwards. Who writes this stuff anyway? Oh, and yeah, then later, what would you have me do? Use a knife and fork?
This show is determined to make Stein do surgery.
It is. It is. He is, and he's the closest, I guess, they have.
And it's Christmas, and they totally did a Home Alone send-up. Jack's home alone on the ship.
Yeah.
Laying
little booby traps.
Bethany was like, where are the cans of paint on the stairs?
Yeah. Even for Legends, that would have been too far.
And then they even did a little bit of it felt like a Die Hard type of thing. The Merry Christmas douchebag thing was a little bit, it was close.
That's not bad.
To the tone, I guess.
It's as close as you can get on, you know, network TV.
He's only guilty of following orders. I'm guilty of a lot more than that.
Yeah. I liked Washington, like, standing up for the private Mick he had never met before. Oh, and Mick's speech later about, like, we're misfits, we're outcasts, we fight dirty. It's the American way.
Yes. And I loved how that started. Listen, you fop.
Yes. Oh, I got two more great Mick lines. We could just do a whole podcast about how great Mick's lines are every week.
Yes.
If you're expecting me to blink, it's going to be a long day.
Mm-hmm.
Georgie, I've got some thoughts on the criminal justice system. And then later, like what George talking about, you, Mr. Roy, represent the best of what our nation can be. And, like, Ray says something derisive. Careful haircut. I'm your forefather now.
Oh, yeah. He says he refers to Mick as the drunk uncle.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Ray walking through the vents whistling the Legends theme song.
I know. I actually like that.
Now, when he saw the rat and he went, oh, rat. So I audibly groaned.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew there was going to be a rat. They'd already done the thing with it. It was just... That was the whole thing with him and the saga between Rat and Ray was absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And not fun absurd, just absurd.
How does a rat even get on the ship?
I don't even know. I don't know. And I mean, Ray points out that, like, it could have the bubonic plague.
Now, I have a question. When Sarah's trying to talk Jax down, why didn't he just shoot Rip and they drag his ass back to the ship where Gideon can fix his stupid brain? And the shot?
I don't know. No, I mean, didn't Jax have a musket?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I do know about ballistics as it applies to muskets. At the distance they were standing, mm-hmm. the reason Evil Rip was so damn cavalier was because he had about a 1 in 10 chance of hitting him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, if he aimed slightly, like, 3 feet to the right, he would have the same chance of hitting him with a musket as he would if he went straight for him. it's not a very good position to be in.
Yeah, maybe.
And
at the end,
I'll give him the realistic explanation. Like, no, you can't, like, aim a gut shot and drag him back. No way. But in
know.
TV land where we're not dealing with musket ballistics, yeah, you should be able to just, like, pop him in the knee and drag him back to the ship.
I don't know. Gideon could save Sarah after Rip just, like, crushed her throat.
Yeah. Ooh, that was rough, too.
Mm-hmm.
That actually was pretty rough.
At the end there where Jax and Sarah are kind of hanging out in the library, they were kind of, it felt like they were going to have him kiss a little bit.
I don't know.
They weren't.
No.
But they kind of played it like that, and it was awkward. I jokingly yelled, kiss her.
Kiss her on the face.
And then Bethany said, grab her by the aberration, which made me laugh.
That's good. That's well done. Well done. Oh, I only had two more things. Three more things. One,
yeah,
I desperately, for some reason, want to know what the hell Jax got from Ray that wasn't addressed. Two.
Syphilis.
Probably. Two, the whole idea of it being a Christmas episode at this time of year, like, I understand that Legends can do that, but for some reason it just always feels weird. Like, Christmas has a season, and it feels right, like, for that mm-hmm. month, and then after that, it mm-hmm. just feels awkward.
Agreed.
Like, technically, I understand how they can get away with it here, but it's weird. And the speech is ridiculous.
Yeah, we just figured they... Did they start later than the other shows?
No, I honestly think they just did it because they could.
Okay.
They came up at the same time as everything else. The last thing I had was, like, the reason I'm not at all a fan of Nathan and Vixen is because that makes it feel like I won't see Rex Tyler again.
Mm.
On its face, I got nothing wrong with it. But
that's the only reason I like them, because them getting being together is almost a guarantee that we'll see Rex Tyler again, because then she's going to have to explain to him why she's screwing some
dude.
You have
a good point. In the CW-verse. I like where your head's at. I'm gonna go with that and hold out hope.
Yeah.
Well played.
Highlight of the episode, I feel like we should mention, since we've bitched so much about this episode, is, as always, Darvill just killing it as evil Rip.
He did. And the thing I'm liking about it is he's still acting like Rip. It's just Rip without a moral code. He's only slightly different than Rip. Like he's done a great job with his range this season so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's
all right.
It's like not a third character he's playing. It's like a two and a half character he's playing.
Yeah. It's good stuff. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. We're proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network. GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Coming right back with Arrow 512, Bratva. Until then, keep some DC on your screen.